From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message on the theme, Pardon for Sins of Believers, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Know How to Wait. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. He that believeth shall not make haste. He shall make haste to keep the Lord's commandments, but he shall not make haste in any impatient or improper sense. He shall not haste to run away, for he shall not be overcome with the fear which causes panic. When others are flying hither and thither, as if their wits had failed them, the believer shall be quiet, calm, and deliberate, and so shall be able to act wisely in the hour of trial. He shall not haste in his expectations, craving his good things at once and on the spot, but he will wait God's time. Some are in a desperate hurry to have the bird in hand, for they regard the Lord's promise as a bird in the bush, not likely to be theirs. Believers know how to wait. He shall not haste by plunging into wrong or questionable action. Unbelief must be doing something, and thus it works its own undoing. But faith makes no more haste than good speed, and thus it is not forced to go back sorrowfully by the way which it followed heedlessly. How is it with me? Am I believing, and am I therefore keeping to the believer's pace, which is walking with God? Peace, fluttering spirit. Oh, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Heart, see that thou do this at once.
Christ-like, whatever it takes, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding "The To Think About" section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to focus on the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our debts," especially how to deal with sin in the life of a Christian. It is important that we understand what is meant by pardon for sin, for some believers have confused notions about forgiveness. As we'll see, when we ask God to forgive us our debts, we are praying for a free, full, and felt pardon for sin. This is the path to true assurance of forgiveness. Now, to continue his message on the theme, pardon for sins in the lives of believers, here is Dr. Cairns.
Many preachers make the awful mistake in dealing with sinners who are grappling, or even saints who are grappling with the burden and the trouble of assurance of salvation. I have known great preachers to make the mistake of come along and say, look, you're forgiven, you're pardoned, you're saved, and pat them on the back and send them on their way. That's crazy. It's foolish. Why? Because the man who would stake his whole eternity on my word is playing the fool. For I can be wrong. But here's a word that never fails. Here's a word that never, never, never fails. And when John wrote to the young Christians, in 1 John 5, he says, here's the reason I'm writing these things to you. And notice he's saying, I'm writing to you who believe. I'm writing them that you may know that you have eternal life. When we come to the Lord saying, Lord, forgive us, we need to know it's a faithful pardon. It's a pardon that is grounded in the promise of God. We need a free pardon. If God said, I'm going to pay 99% and I'll leave you 1%, we would all be in hell. If he said, I will pay 99.99999% and leave you to pay the other fraction, we would still be in hell. Our sin is great. Our guilt demands the wrath of an infinitely holy God. And unless His pardon is free to us, we can never have it. That's why I hate the religions of this world. I hate apostate Christianity. I hate the denominational message that tells sinners do this and do that and do the other thing. I hate the Arminian garbage that says God has done His part. Now it's up to you to do your part. Because if God does not give me a free pardon, He gives me no pardon whatsoever. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done. It is not by payments we have made. But thank God it is by a pardon full and faithful and free. And let me tell you, it's a felt pardon we're asking for. Now, you can be pardoned and sometimes not feel it. Some people can't grasp this. I had a friend in Ballymoney, and actually he wasn't the first. Martin Luther was very much like this. And many of the other reformers were very, very much like this. But this fellow said to me, he said, look, I'm saved and I know it. How could I have God the Holy Ghost living within me and not know it? How could I have all my sins wiped out and not know it? How could I possess eternal life and not know it? How could I be rightly related to God and not have any idea about it? See, that doesn't make any sense to me. See, God did a mighty work in his heart and life, and he came, as soon as he was saved, into a great assurance of salvation and became a mighty servant of God. I said, you know, the Lord deals with different people in different ways. And I have to take the reality that when John said, I'm writing to you who believe, to make you know, I have to believe that at that time there were some people who were having trouble with assurance. There are Christians who sometimes, and sometimes because of sin, because of disobedience, sometimes it's because of, say as in the case of hymn writer William Cowper, because of a very melancholic type of spirit a depressive, introverted type of spirit? Sometimes because of lack of theological teaching and clarity. There are Christians who are forgiven, but they don't always feel the full joy of it. And there are times when people who have had the assurance and joy of salvation feel they're gone. And it's very difficult for them to re-enter the felt joy of God's pardon. When we pray, Father, forgive us, we're praying for a felt pardon. The old Scotsman, the old Highland Presbyterian, put it well when he tried to describe God's salvation and he found that his oratory wasn't up to the job. I mean, that's saying something for a Scotsman, because they can normally talk about anything at any length and make a good job of it. But he couldn't do the job. And then he finally said, "Ach man, it's better felt than telt." And there's a lot of truth in that. It's better felt than telt. It is a felt pardon. Now, that's what we're praying for. Specifically involved in that, taking the full meaning of the word, what we're praying is, Lord, blot out our sin. Remember that this is a basic meaning of the word. It means send them away. Send our sins away. Now, when the Lord Jesus sent the multitude away, what happened? Do you need me to describe that? Can you see the distance constantly getting greater and greater? He sent them away. That's what we're praying. Lord, do to our sins what you did to the multitude. Send them away. From whom? From the Lord himself. Put them away from you and from your memory. We read this morning in the 51st Psalm in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Put them away from God. You remember the Day of Atonement? If you want to read all the details, you can read it in Leviticus chapter 16. Remember the Day of Atonement, there was that great story recorded of what happened with the goats of the sin offering. The Lord tells us that there were two goats. And there's one that is called the goat of sending away. I haven't time to expound the details of the Day of Atonement, but those two goats, one who died, one who went away into the wilderness, they typify one sacrifice, two aspects of the sacrifice of Christ. One is by the shedding of his blood he propitiates the wrath of God, puts away the wrath that was our due, and reconciles us unto God. The other is he puts away from the holy presence of God forever and forever. He puts away our sin. The goat of sending away reminds us when we pray for forgiveness, we pray, Lord, send our sin away. And this is how the Lord describes himself. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. We're praying, Lord, forgive us. Send our sins away. We're praying, obviously, Lord, do not inflict the punishment of those sins upon us. Do not put upon us the just desert of our sins. Rather, deal with us on the ground of the blood of Jesus Christ. You remember the lovely parable the Lord Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee went in and he prayed with himself. Let me stop for a minute. That's one of the most telling phrases in Scripture. He prayed thus with himself. How many preachers, priests, and people across Christendom this morning are standing in church praying thus with themselves. It may sound very sanctimonious, but God in heaven has not the slightest interest in the rubbish they're talking. Selfish, proud, man-centered, God says they pray with themselves. But there was a poor publican, a sinner, and he felt his sin so much he wouldn't even look up to heaven, but in Jewish fashion smote upon his breast, and he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that cry, God, be merciful, the word is a word that relates to atonement. God, be propitiated toward me, the sinner. God, deal with me on the ground of the blood of the sacrifice. I confess my sin, but, O Lord, deal with me according to the blood of the sacrifice. Do not inflict what I deserve upon me. Give me rather what Christ deserved vicariously for me. It also means, of course, release us from the debt that we have incurred. Now, it's a very important thing to recognize when you come asking for forgiveness for your debts. You're asking that the debts already accumulated be wiped out. But you're not asking, nor is it ever right to ask, to be released from the duty that God and His law have laid upon us. But we've all broken that law. We have accumulated great debts. What can we do about them? What will we bring to God to pay for that mountain of debt? Nothing. The hymn writer said, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Wipe out our debt. I spoke about a felt pardon. What we're praying is, Lord, cleanse my conscience and deliver me from all my guilt. As we read in the 51st Psalm, in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. What was David talking about here? Remember, this was after a great sin of David's. I have no apology to make for David's sin. He committed adultery, and to cover it, he schemed to put one of his mighty men, if you read the list of his mighty men, Uriah was among them, one of his best soldiers, one of his most devoted followers, he schemed to put him in the hottest part of the battle to make sure he would be killed, to cover up for David's sin. There's no excuse for that, you know. He might have been a great king and a great saint and a great man of God in every other way, but that's a blot on David's history and David's character for which there's no excuse. We can say that David didn't live in our day. The day in which David lived, kings would have done that, and I don't think there's one other king in the world would have lost one wink of sleep over it. There wasn't one other king living to whom it would have been a matter of concern, because they were absolute monarchs. They owned everything and every person under their control as their chattels, and he could take what he wanted, when he wanted, why he wanted, for how long he wanted, and every man's life was in his hand. That was the law, that was the rule of society. But it was not the rule of God. And David knew it. And so, burdened down with guilt, there was nobody on earth to visit punishment upon him. There was nobody on earth who could say anything to him about it. but in his heart, he knew it grieved God. Now, let me tell you, if you're a Christian here this morning, you know exactly how that feels. Every Christian here, and many unsaved people, know the very same thing. That there are things in your life that I don't know about, and others don't know about, and there's nobody on earth can visit vengeance, and yet it eats at your soul, and the guilt brings such misery to your heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.